What's up, dudes? Before we begin this podcast, I want to let you know that we got a show out on Netflix called Chad and JD Go Deep. If you haven't watched it, watch it now. Check it out. And if you haven't watched it, but you're listening to the podcast, what are you doing? Go turn on Netflix and watch it right now. Make sure you binge that. It's very bingeable. We also have tour dates coming up. We are going to Seattle next. Seattle, what up? We are coming to your town. We are also coming to Boston. We are coming to New York. We are coming to Nashville, Chicago, Atlanta, Salt Lake City, and Denver. So if you're in one of those towns, go to chatandjt.com for tickets. We promise you an excellent, excellent show. We're also brought to you by the legends at Manscaped. Manscaped, thank you so much for keeping our trims pure, for looking after our hogs, for making sure that our dinks are looking fresh and clean, because it's fresh ball fall, everyone. And if you got nuts, then you got balls. Right? And you got pubes, and it's time for you to trim those up, baby. So, welcome to Fresh Ball Fall. It's the season of pumpkin spice. Making sure your crotch looks nice. Go to manscaped.com, get 20% off and free shipping with the code GODEEP. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com when you use code GODEEP. Manscaped, clear out the leaves, and it's your tree trunk's time to shine. /GODEEP. All right, let's start the show. Population. Some people think we should have less people. Some people think we should have more.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting. It seems logical that we should have less people, right?
I think that's most of the philosophies I've encountered in that area. That's what they say, Thomas Malthus. Yeah. He would say natural disaster and pandemic was the Earth's way as a quasi-sentient being of clearing out the herd a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not quite sure. I don't know. That's beyond my pay grade.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, it seems natural. It seems, are we recording? Oh, we're recording. Have you been recording this whole time?
Just the last 40 seconds.
Oh, no. Oh, so you were talking.
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, what's up, guys? Well, that's the thing is, it seems natural that less people, it sounds sick. I would like to have less people around, less traffic, less competitive prices to, NFL games and stuff like that. Smart. You know what I mean? But then Elon Musk is always
less
saying,
hotties, though.
What's up?
Less hotties.
Dude, yeah.
Less smokes. On
yeah,
both
that's
sides.
True. That's crazy to think about, less hot people.
It's kind of like when you go to my first high school.
Yeah.
Had 1,800 kids and you're like, whoa, this is it feels like a million. But then by the end of year two, you're like, I kind of know everybody here. It'd be nice to have some new blood.
Dude, totally. Well, that's the thing. Is I remember in middle school, I went to a private school, not to flex. Just being honest. And the whole consensus the whole time was dude, at public school, that's where the hot chicks are.
Grass is always greener.
Yeah, because it was bigger population. So,
samesies. We were at St. Anne's and we'd always be like, dude, Nigel, it's just everyone's hot.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's they were hotter. They you could get a hand job if you went to public school. A hand job at private middle school is not
it's tough
on
to
the
come
table.
By. No. There's always one guy who was getting them.
Dude, yeah. For me, it was Zach.
Me, it was Hunter.
Dude, good names, dude.
Yeah, cool guys. Their parents knew what they were doing.
I was talking about kids' names and stuff. I like the name Zach.
It's a cool name.
Zach's a cool name.
And Zach Morris. I think it's been kind of
culturally
embedded that's the name of a cool person.
Yeah. Anyways.
I think Sebastian.
Sebastian. That's the thing. For me, Sebastian, Elliot.
Too rich, kitty.
Well, that's the thing is they could go either way. It could be really cool or they could be kind of
nerdy.
Yeah, kind of prissy.
Yeah, they're either, that's the word, prissy. They're either suave or they're prissy. That's kind of the run of it.
Well, that's just up to the parent though, to parent the fuck out of that kid.
Yeah, make sure, keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
The way they mark your height at the wall as you grow, they should be marking your coolness.
Dude, yeah. My parents did that.
They knew what was up.
Yeah.
Their values were in line. So you think less people?
I mean, that just seems logic. logically that seems right to me. But then I guess the whole argument with like Elon Musk or whatever is that like the supply chain or whatever, the labor force would break down. And a lot of people say it's like disaster, like declining population is disaster. And then there's like countries with a declining population with like Japan.
Yeah, boning crisis. Like that.
Yeah, boning crisis. And they're screwed because all their old people are dying off and they don't have a lot of replacements coming through. So.
And most wars just turn into like human resources battles, like who has more people that they can throw into the meat grinder.
Right.
If you don't have a lot of bodies, you kind of run through all the willing fighting folk pretty quickly.
Yeah. And I guess the main argument is like, if you're pro less people, you got to be pro bot. You know what I mean?
I've been thinking about that, the bots, dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to show a lot of empathy and compassion to the bots.
Oh, me too.
I'm not going to treat them as foe.
Oh, I'd be super polite to them.
Yeah, they're homies off the jump.
Yeah. Even the bots that blow you.
Is that already happening?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's bots that... I think even before they started making bots that make cars, they made bots that blow you.
Smart. That makes sense in terms of what humans are looking for. Yeah. Transpo falls behind satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Of the sexual nature.
I mean, you got to get blown before you
drive. I flipped that one by a decade because I started driving at 12.
I mean, that's something I've been, you know, we've been preaching for like 10 years. Is like we need the time to get a driver's license like after you get blown.
So you got a reason to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad's like, where are you going? You're like, you know what I'm doing.
I know. Yeah, because I would drive when I was like 16. I hadn't been blown yet. You know, and it's like my dad would be like, where are you going? I'd be like, I would say exactly that. I'd be like, you know where I'm going. He's like, no, I don't. You haven't been blown. And I tried to lie to him, but you can't lie to your dad about that.
No, they can tell. They can just see it in your frame.
I'm like, I'm just going to AMPM to get like a Frosty. Sorry.
He's like, your shoulders are a bit too tense.
Yeah.
Dude, we had a crazy couple weeks, huh? It's been wild.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, traveling all. We're the road dog life.
We've been across the country twice over.
Across the country? We're about to go across the country again tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. We're going to New York tomorrow.
Yeah.
Doing Seth Meyers with Bernie Sanders.
With Bernie Sanders and Sophia Franklin's pod.
Nice.
Yeah. We're getting into the other side of the Caller Daddy universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're coming back to L.A., and then we're going to Talladega. We're crossing the country again.
Yeah, we're going to the race out there. Yeah. We're going to do a video on crews, how important crews are.
We went to North Carolina, South Carolina.
Brought the boys with us. We had Strider and Joe.
Dude's the best. They're the best.
Dude, you were on a different flight. Mm-hmm. I get to the airport, missed the bag check-in. I always check a bag
because
I put weed in it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I'm there 43 minutes to spare. I thought the cutoff was 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, they won't let me check my bag. She's like, you missed it.
Mm-hmm.
With like pleasure in her voice. And I'm like, what? I didn't miss it. She's like, you missed it. I'm like, well, is there somewhere I can, because you were coming later. I was like, is there a way I can get my bag to my homie so he can check it for me? She's like, no. I'm like, well, then I'm going to miss my flight. And she looks at me dead-eyed and she goes, you did miss your flight. I was like, you motherfucker. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's on.
Yeah.
So then I ran into the bathroom downstairs at the terminal. Found a trash bag that had like 4 used paper towels in it. I was like, that's not bad. Threw those out and just dumped all my clothes into a trash bag. Left my luggage.
Yeah.
Made the flight. And then we...
Dude, I mean, you, as we were traveling the whole time, we'd be leaving it. Because, you know, it was, we did a different place each night. So we had a different hotel each night. You'd come in with your trash bag.
Clear, too. So you could just see my boxers just like... straight through.
And how'd you get the bag, dude? This is the best part. Did you already explain that?
What?
How you got the trash bag?
Yeah, I just ran into the bathroom.
Oh, you already said that? Okay,
yeah,
okay, yeah.
Grabbed it out of the... It was
just to reiterate, because that's the best part. That's really sort of inventive thinking on your part.
No, I wasn't taking no for an answer.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm bombing it through the airport running with a trash bag. I was carrying my shoes because I didn't even want to waste time putting them back on after security.
Yeah.
But then a guy is like, hey, are you JT Parr? I was like, yeah. Stopped, gave a quick shaka, and then kept running. Made it onto the flight. And then, dude, it's so funny because, like, I just don't know geography that well. Mm-hmm. So we land in Charlotte, and then we're going to Greensboro next in North Carolina. So I booked us a connecting flight. we get on the plane. They're like, this will be a 17-minute flight. Mm-hmm. Dude, it was literally an hour and a half drive, but I booked a flight. We flew at 9,000 feet. Like, I was like, I could jump out of this plane and stomp the landing. Yeah. And it was the most ridiculous kind of itinerary ever, but it was fun because I don't think I'll ever go on a commercial flight that short again.
And Joe's giving you shit, right?
Joe's talking shit the whole time. He's like, why'd you do this? You're an idiot. Yeah, so then we're in Greensboro, which is like a small town. We do our show and then we go play pool, which was fun. You guys kicked our asses.
Yeah, yeah.
I kept scratching on the fucking eight ball, but
what do you mean we kicked your asses? You were kicking our asses. We won on a fluke two times.
I know. It was frustrating for me because I really like playing pool and I was like, God damn it.
Yeah, I didn't know you're such a prodigious pool player.
I used to play a lot. My dad used to take me to pool halls and stuff and let me play adults, which was always fun. And I had my own stick. Like, I brought in a little case and I'd screw it in, like roll it to make sure it was, like, you know, not tilted or anything. And then we go to Waffle House. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was just going to talk about my flight.
Oh, go.
Air travel's so chill now that I had a connecting flight in Chicago and we land in I was on American Airlines and they're like, we land and I had a connecting flight in about 40 minutes, 35. And we get there and the pilot's like, dudes, we don't have a gate.
It's been happening all the time. Now.
We're going to sit here for 40 minutes. And he's like, how many people in here have connections? Everyone raises their hands. We all missed our connections because they didn't have a gate. We were like, I could see the plane. I'm like, can you just let me off here? Like, this is like right there. I'll just fucking walk on the little thing. Then we get, so I do a different transfer to LaGuardia. And it's my mom. We do a different transfer to LaGuardia. And, first off, I get to the plane to go to LaGuardia, and it's like leaving in 5 minutes, and I'm like, "Hey, I'm on this flight." She's like, "I don't know you. I don't know who you are," and I'm like, "She's like, you're not checked in." I'm like, "Well, I just transferred it. Like, you guys just fucked up the gate situation. I'm here now," and she's like, "Well, it's full. Can't let you on," and I was like, "I just stood there. And then finally, she's like, "All right, give me your ID." I get on the plane. It's half full. She lied. Then I get to LaGuardia, and we get on the plane, and we're, like, waiting for, like, an hour. And they're like, dude, it's raining. And we're like, yeah. And they're like, can't go. And so we get off the plane. They cancel the flight. And I'm like, to the people at LaGuardia, I'm like, can you, like, put me in a hotel or something for the night? They're like, no. I'm like, why not? They're like, it's raining. And I was like, respect. And I'm like, so where should I sleep? They're like, well, the floor's right there. And so I slept on the floor.
You were a beast, though, man, because you came in the next day and you were like, you had like the worst day and a half of travel ever. Dude, yeah. But you were like, yeah, I'm in a good mood. I was like, fucking A, man. it's like, I'm a pretty positive person, but you and Strider are so positive. Like, the first night in Greensboro, the club was kind of like, it was nice. It was great. And I had a good time. But it was like run down a little bit. And like, it
looked like a bowling alley.
Yeah. And the green room was like a storage closet.
Yeah.
And I'm in there and I'm like, this isn't like an ideal. It's not like what I picture when I see us on the road, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm having these like negative thoughts. And then right as I'm having them, Strider just goes, is this not fucking paradise? I'm like, you know what, dude? Quit being such an excellent human being.
Yeah, Strider's so good at that. He's like, bro, we're living the dream.
He's always reminding us, which is really nice.
Yeah.
But then to the Joe thing complaining about it, where the whole trip he's just like, God, you fucked this up. Why'd you book this flight? Dumb. And then he's not wrong. But then after our show, we played pool, went drinking, then we went to Waffle House, which is the best. And it was so sweet. We walk in there. Just the way that people in smaller towns, like, look out for strangers is really life-affirming. Like, we walk in, and a lady who doesn't work there but is friends with the lady who works there brings us our menus and tells us to have a nice night. Like, she just volunteers to help. It was so sweet. And then we get our food, and Joe's just grilling me on, like, because I booked everything so last second. He's like, did you do this yet? Did you do this? And, like, I'm like, no, I suck. And then I go, Joe, you're doing it. you're in charge now. I was like, I'll give you like everyone's information. The clubs will pay for it, but you book everything. And then he was like, okay. And then 5 minutes later, he's like, I'm not doing it. I was like, all right, well, then you're not allowed to. You can't bitch at me about it, bro.
Yeah, I mean, he just so funny, man.
He's hilarious.
His outfits are great, too.
Yeah, he loves that collared shirt he's got. That one that he bought at, like, Revolver or something.
Yeah, he's got a collared shirt. I don't know, man. He's just, he's funny because he's, like, he's such a... If you don't know Joe, you know, you're around him, you're like, dude, are you okay? Yeah, great. You're like, oh, okay. You have to like be around him to sort of, because if you don't know him and you're around him sometimes, you'll be like, man, is this guy just fucking,
is he brooding?
The most unhappy guy I've ever met? And he's doing fine.
No, he's happy. Yeah. That's just how he communicates. We're just like yelling at each other. Yeah. He had great sets. Everyone had good sets.
Yeah, it was fun.
Then we went to Charlotte, which is a great town. Super cool.
Charlotte's cool. I like Charlotte a lot. I mean, that audience was, I mean, they're all great audiences, but that Charlotte audience was probably one of the better audiences we've ever had.
They were ripping. And that club's really nice and super well run. Like, everyone was really cool. And then
very kind of underground feel with like that low ceiling, you know, it's kind of like the sound reverberates off the walls.
And when we came in, normally there's like a back entrance for the performers, and we just see six black dudes throwing dice. Yeah. On the back, and I'm like, hey man, do you know where the artist entry is? What did the guy say to us? He was such a character.
He's talking about Cameo. He's like, you guys on Cameo? You on Cameo? And I think Charles like, yeah, I am. He's like, he's talking about some other app. He's like, you need to download a fucking, I forget the name.
But I couldn't tell if he worked there. And then I was like, do you guys know where the green room is? He's like, yeah, I'll show you. Yeah. I was like, do you work here? And he was like, I guess. And then he just like led us through the back and got us in there. And then the show was great, but there was one blonde lady at the front who was being like super obnoxious. She was talking during everybody's sets. It really bugs me when people do that. Although it is funny that like our whole thing is that we like bum rush people with cameras. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I'm kind of the worst ambassador for this, because like literally what I do is like kind of surprise people and encroach on them. So, but she was encroaching on the show and she wasn't listening to security. So finally I was like, you got to leave. And she was so mad, but I got such sadistic joy out of it. She's like, why do I have to go? I was like, you're drunk. You're talking too much. You got to go. She's like, no, no. I love you guys. And I was like, we love you too, but it's just not the right night. And she processed that. It was like, I want my money back. And I said, no shot. Like, it don't work that way.
Well, she was leaving during my set. They were like kicking her out. I was like addressing her, but then they were actively kicking her out. And I was in the middle of a joke. I was like, I guess I should just finish the joke.
It's a tough call to make.
Yeah. I blazed through the joke and then I addressed it afterwards. But I was like, her walking out is not getting in the way of me telling my joke. Yeah.
No, that's the professional call to make. And I think it was additive to the show. And we met
It was fun.
We met everybody. They were all nice. Then we drove to Greenville, South Carolina. What a cute town.
Dude, it's amazing. South Carolina's amazing. It's such a... It seemed like... you know what it was? It was a great Christmas town.
Yeah, it felt like Christmas. The way they do the lights on the main street and stuff like that.
I love a good Christmas
town. And they had running water going through it. They got a river.
Yeah. That was really nice. You could like have a family there and spend the holidays there and just be like, this is it.
We all said that at dinner afterwards. We're like, we should all move here and start families here.
I think we all knew that South Carolina is the spot.
It has that kind of vibe to it. And it was funny too, just doing, oftentimes I'll go party with Stokers after the show, but I had no energy for that this trip. Yeah. I was just beat. I felt bad during the Q&As. You guys were all so good at it. I was kind of like, I would just smoke a lot of weed and kind of plow ahead.
Right, right, right.
And then one guy came up to me, he's like, how baked are you right now? I was like, I'm really baked.
Yeah.
And then like, it was funny because our audience is pretty youngish. What do you say? It's mostly like 24-year-olds probably.
24, 25, yeah.
I would need like, After we were done with everything, I'd be like, can we go to a bar that's like all 50-year-olds? Yeah. I'm like, I think that'll calm me a little bit.
Right, right, right.
It's a lot of stimulation. The best kind. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah. It's fun being on the road. It makes me... I always fall in love with stand-up even more. Yeah, I was in, and then we went to... Dude, we had Kimmel. My biggest thing is with... Those late night appearances is I can't sleep the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And like Ellen, I could not sleep. That's the thing is like, that's like for me that people are like, what are you nervous about? I'm like sleeping. It's like not being out there. It's sleeping like the night before. If I can sleep the night before, huge W. I feel great. Although I didn't sleep before Ellen, and it went fine. So, but this time before Kimmel, I took this thing called Trazodone, just tranquilized myself.
Oh yeah.
And I took Tylenol PM on top of that. Cause
you went hard in the paint.
I did go hard in the paint because I took the Trazodone. And I was like, okay, the Trazodone is going to knock me out. I go to sleep at 10:30, wake up at 11:30 and wake up. Fuck. Heart starts pounding. And I'm like, oh shit. And then I fall back asleep, wake back up at like 12:50. And I'm like, God damn it. You know, because that's the worst when you get like an hour and then you can't fall back asleep.
It's the worst. Like,
dude, I had it. And then, but at 12:30, I took Tylenol PM. I was like, you know what? Let's just like overload on this shit. And woke up at like 7. I was like, thank fucking God. But now we have Seth Meyers coming up on Monday.
Monday, a couple days from it. Saturday today.
Yeah, but we just came back from Hawaii. So that's like, but luckily we had last night and tonight to get adjusted to this time change, and then we're going 3 hours ahead. So that's going to be an interesting thing of like, I'm going to need to take a lot of, I have to do the same combo.
For sure. Yeah. If you got something that works for you. Well, then, yeah. Cause then after South Carolina, we went to Las Vegas for 2 days.
Oh, right. I totally forgot about Las Vegas.
And then Jay came with us and then. Yeah. We shot a video out there. We have a new movement, Stoker Croak. Basically, our boy Froder passed away from never partying. Just too much stress in his life, always on the hustle, always on the grind. And it got to him and he had a cerebral anal out. What is it? A cerebral
anal-rism,
which is something that happens in your brain. And so now we have the Stoker Croak movement where you got to go party a couple times a year to clear the hopper.
Yeah.
So we were performing at a music festival.
That was so fun.
And the crowd was amazing.
Yeah.
That was so fun. We did like a Bill and Ted talk and that was really fun. And then we did our podcast. It was funny too. Cause like one dude, the dudes in the audience were like, they're like, dude, can you be too stoked? And we were like, I don't think so. What do you mean by too stoked? He's like, I blocked out yesterday. I have stitches and bruises.
Yeah.
And so we came into the crowd and looked at him and like, dude, he was fucked. His whole arm was purple.
Yeah.
And then he had such fresh stitches in his head. Like, it was all, like the blood was still like kind of a vivid red. And I was like, yeah, you might be too stoked, dog. You hate to come down on someone who's too stoked.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was Edward 40 hands in it. He had like two, he was double fisting. I was like, this dude rages.
Yeah.
But the festival vibes are so incredible. Cause like everyone's in such a good mood. It's so positive.
It's so positive. I didn't drink at all. And like, I felt great. I almost like being sober there felt better than getting fucked up.
I was really pumped on you. It was the hardest I've seen you party.
Yeah,
like totally sobes.
Yeah, you know, I loved it because whenever I get hammered or whatever, it's like the first hour or two is fun, but then it starts creeping in my head. I'm like, oh man, tomorrow's gonna suck. Like the recovery's gonna be. But if you're just cruising, you're just sober, having a good time. It's like you're like, I'm sober now, and also tomorrow's not gonna be bad.
That's the best part, is that you don't have to pay a price for it on the back end.
That's how much we've been traveling. I totally forgot we went to Vegas.
It was fun. We saw Lorde. We saw the Gorillaz. I didn't even know the Gorillaz were a band. I thought they were all DJs. And they're an incredible live band. Like, really powerful.
It's Damon Albarn. Is that his name? Damon?
He's a good front man.
He's really good front man. He's so,
he's cool.
That was one of the best bands I've ever seen.
They were amazing.
They're so inventive and creative. Yeah, I had no idea what to expect because I just saw like the cartoons of them. Did they like reveal themselves like 10 years ago or something?
Probably. That sounds about right.
Because I heard they used to perform with just like cartoon, like a screen.
Like from the music videos?
Yeah.
That's what I figured we were going to get too. I thought it'd be a little less like personable, but they were front and center and they jammed. They were really...
Yeah.
Their songs are perfect for that kind of atmosphere.
Yeah.
It was fun.
There's one guy who the lead singer like started singing to him. He would go into the crowd and he like grabbed this guy's face. The guy was, he looked like he was on Molly or something. He's like so in love, and he's just, oh, like his best moment is like, oh. And like I was trying to think how I would react if like the lead singer was like grab my face and was singing to me. I would be so awkward. I'd be like, because you're on,
you'd be like
screen.
Looking away from him.
Yeah, I'd be on screen. I'd be like, you know, give him a thumbs up, dude. I would not be able to get into the moment. I feel so weird, dude.
Totally.
How would you react?
Me?
Yeah.
I'd lock eyes. I'd just be like staring as hard into him as he was at me. It'd be too much on camera. You'd be like, bro, there's people watching. I'd be like. Dude. I love hard eye contact. It'd be what I've always wanted.
Yeah.
Just eye contact with a bunch of people watching it. That was really fun. And then, we came home, had like a night or two, came home Sunday, and then we did Kimmel on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
That was so fun. You go in there, you walk through the, like their corridor, and it's like, you see the guests he's had. It's like Julia Roberts and Barack Obama. And you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And the green room was really fun. My buddy Joe P came. Joe Pelizzone missed his bachelor party. It's ongoing today because we've just been traveling so much. But he's the best. He's such a soothing presence. Mm-hmm. He looked great. He had a sharp outfit on.
He's the best.
Dude, and then the
best guy to come.
Sorry.
The best guy to join along on those.
Yeah, sure. We brought Joe to Ellen and now Joe. Joes are good for appearances.
Yeah, you got to bring a Joe. If you're ever doing a late night show or anything big like that, bring a Joe. Don't bring a Tanner.
No.
We've done that before.
That's a wild card.
No.
And then, dude, the makeup lady, did you get that thing?
The Japanese vibrating thing?
That was incredible.
Yeah, it brings down inflammation.
Relaxing as fuck, too. Mm-hmm. She's just rubbing that shit on my face. She's like, it's a little like new agey and like, who knows, maybe it's pseudoscience. I was like, oh, man, I'll try anything.
Yeah.
And she put it on my face. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And I think it was like, it has the aesthetic benefit, which is, a little hard for me to pick up, but just the sensory experience of it, I felt so good afterwards. Right. I was like, I want that on my face at all times.
Yeah, dude, vibrate my face.
And then we ran our stuff, and then we went out there. It was really fun.
It's so surreal being out there because the set's smaller than you think. Like, it feels like if on TV, it just reads as so much bigger. And while we were sitting there, I was just like, I was looking at Jimmy Kimmel. I was like, well, his head's huge. Dude, he has a huge head.
He does. That's part of being a good talk show host.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a huge head. And I remember when he first started talking to us, I was looking at him as I think we were pretty locked in, but I was nervous at first when he's just like talking to you and you're just sitting there. You're like, it's so like having the whole thing of like having an audience just watch you talk to someone. It's like a really weird feeling until you get into it, until you feel like they're like into it as well.
Yeah, it's because you got to be connected to them, but then you also, it's a live performance. So you got to be connected to the audience too.
Yeah.
So you kind of pitch back and forth between who you're throwing to.
Yeah, it's so fun though.
That was a real, Joe was talking about it when we came off.
Yeah.
Because it's only 8 minutes too. It's crazy. Your brain is preparing for this thing. Like it's like.
It flies by.
The Super Bowl. And then you're done in a flash.
Yeah.
And then you come back into the green room and all of our, like Luke and Kara and Jordan and Tess and Lewis, who are like all the people who help us get on shows like that, were there. And then, but Joe is saying like how you and me were just like, we had so much energy after we came off that we just kept moving around and like hitting our hands and being like, you kind of, it's a huge high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're, you sort of don't know what to do with yourself after.
Yeah, totally. And also, it goes by so quick where he's like, all right, that's all the time we have. And you're like, did you just cut this short? I'm like, that was like 15 minutes, dog.
Yeah, 8 minutes. 8 minutes.
Kimmel's a good guy. And then
he was really nice.
Then we went to Hawaii the next day. It was great. Kennedy came.
She's the best.
We had some macadamia crusted fish.
That was delicious.
And then
this was huge. I had a great day. We got there the day before our show. We just chilled, got dinner, us. And then I went to Foodland, my favorite grocery store in the world. Mm-hmm. The one at Aloha Market. Although some of the locals told me the one on North Shore is better. I'm fiending to check that out. And we're walking, or the club, the comedy club was in the hotel. I come downstairs, I'm walking in the front. The guy who worked there was such a ledge. He was so nice. And I'm like, I go through here. He's like, yeah. And then my stepdad, Greg, just walks outside. I'm like, what? One of most, like, more surreal than, like, Kimmel. I just look, I'm like, what? I felt like I was dreaming. I was like, what? And Greg's like, what's up, man? I'm like, what the fuck are you doing here? And I guess him and my mom had a trip to Hawaii planned at the same time. Mm-hmm. And they coordinated with my brother and my dad and, like, my girlfriend. And, like, they all knew about it, which was so sweet. And then Greg's just like, yeah, your mom came. She surprised you. She's going to be at the show. And then my mom, who is the most hilarious and big personality in the world, she just starts having a ball. The show is so fun. And she was just having a ball during it. Like, she was, like, speaking out during my set. And I get, like, a little bit kiddish where I'm like, Mom, shut up. But she's always hilarious.
Yeah.
And so we do the show. I'm like, so I feel so loved that my mom's there. And then we do a Q&A after the show. And I'm just standing up there, and I look to my left, and my mom just has her hand out, being like, bring me on stage.
Yeah.
And at first, I'm like, no. And then, but the crowd's like, they all know her from the show. They're like, no, let her up. Yeah. I'm like, all right. So I bring my mom up. She just grabs the microphone. She goes, I just want to tell everyone that I am so, so proud of my son and of Chad. And I love these boys so much. So you can't be mad at her, because it's like she's just only ever saying it's nice so things. Sweet.
She's always so additive at the shows.
No, she crushes. That's the thing. And then we do a meet and greet afterwards in a gift shop, and there's like a line, mm-hmm. and my mom's just pretty blasted, and she's just grabbing people out of line, and she's like, I'm so proud of them. I'm so here, come meet them.
Yeah.
And she's having people skip the line, and I'm like, Mom, there's a line. Yeah. All right, this guy's waiting. You can't just have people skip the line. She's like, John Thomas, I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Yeah, she gave me a bunch of bags too from the venue. She's like, take these bags.
She bought like 20 of those
She's like, this is for Chris, Becca, Elizabeth, JT, Kennedy, and you for memories. Take these.
Yeah.
And then
I took like five of those fuckers home.
Yeah. She made a joke to Kennedy. She's like, Chad, you need to tell Kennedy, was right there. You need to tell Kennedy to lose weight. And at first, we didn't get that she was being like the opposite of, like, she's so skinny that, like, it's like, and I was like, what?
I know.
And then I was like, that was really sweet.
Yeah, she's ripping ironic bits.
Yeah. You need to tell her to lose weight.
Yeah, that was wild just seeing her there. It was such a surprise and such a loving one. I was really psyched.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun, and crowd was good there. There was one dude who was just like bombed in the audience, just screaming out. He was pretty hilarious.
Yeah. Bay Area bros.
Elias.
Yeah.
He was funny.
And
he's like, dude, what up, dude? In the middle of my set, I'm like, what's up, dog? I'm like, why'd you move to Hawaii? He's like, the waves and the crew. And I'm like, well, how are the waves? He goes, cherry.
Yeah.
And then he wouldn't stop talking, so I kind of made fun of him for a second. I was like, dude, you gotta shut up, bro. And he just takes a beat. He goes, feelings hurt.
Oh, he did.
He said it like an alien that had just the first time they got their feelings hurt and learned a language. He was like, it was so pure. He just went, feelings hurt.
Dude, it's fun talking to locals at Hawaii, especially the transplants, you know, because you're like, how long you been here? Been here 10 years. How'd you decide to move out here? Well, I came out here to visit. I'm still here.
They all seem really happy about the choice. That is how everyone, our waitress, when we, the first night, same thing. She's just like, they move there for the lifestyle, and it is very appealing.
Yeah, like, I came here for the tan, and I just never left.
I need to travel more next time I'm there and try to get away from the...
Yeah, I want to go to North Shore. Kauai sounds really cool. That's where your mom is right now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Maui a lot. Big Island's cool. I want to go to the North Shore. Like, I never really... I spent like a day there before. Candy and I were going to go for like a few days, and we were going to go travel up there, but then we had Kimmel come up, and then Seth Meyers come up, so we can only spend a day there. Props to her too for just coming out for you know, we flew 5 hours there, spent a day, and then 5 hours back.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, now we're back here.
Yeah, we're here for just another day or two, and then Talladega, but then we get a nice break. We get to chill.
Yeah. Kevin and I are doing a Call of Duty Bagathon today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just thought, I was like, this is our one day before going to New York. I'm like, I'm just going to relax and just teabag some strangers. You know, just that's sort of my release. So that'll be nice. And then Putin. What's going on with Putin?
Did he do something else?
I guess he's threatening more nukes, dude.
Yeah, he's got to do that shit. Talk tough.
I'm like, dude, what is this, 1985?
It's hard to have like a problem like that where it's totally unresolvable and you're just like, I guess I just like vote a certain way, and other than that, what can I do?
Yeah. Part of you is like, yeah, if we get here, you know? Can you imagine waking up and be like, you wake up after you threaten nuclear war? You wake up and you're like, I guess if you're that guy, you have to wake up and be like, there's no questioning.
No,
you're like, that was the right move.
Yeah, you got to be confident.
You wake up and you like go on your morning walk and you're like, what's up, Frank?
Or he's probably reading like Ryan Holiday.
Yeah,
and he's like stillness. I just need some stillness today.
Yeah, I need some stillness. What's up, Vladimir?
Dude, I heard in this book that I'm reading, it was interesting. I guess in Russia, where they have like a little bit more of a scarcity mindset on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, there's the, when you get jammed up, you can do that Ask Our Audience lifeline. I guess in Russia, they don't really trust strangers and they don't want to just have you get things because that could, they feel, and you know, every culture has its own strengths and weaknesses with everything. It's no judgment, but like, they just don't trust a stranger, especially to get so much money, because they're like, well, that could be coming out of my pile. So in Russia, when you ask the audience, they'll more often than not give you the wrong answer because they want you to lose.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's like low stranger trust there.
Yeah.
And like and I guess in Western cultures, we trust strangers more implicitly because we believe in our institutions, but we trust like our kin less.
Really?
Yeah, we're less like village oriented in terms of our faith. We go more big and abstract with it.
And then do Russians trust their kin more?
Yeah, like so in more like, so weird means like Western educated, industrialized, like something, I forget what the whole thing is, but yeah, they trust their kin and they have more obligation to them. So like, if you're like, this is separate from Russia, but like in a more like rural kind of society, like kinship obligation is huge. Like if someone fucks up someone in your family, like you are duty bound to go fuck up someone in their family.
Mm.
Like you just kind of, you self-police it more. Whereas, which I guess people kind of understand, but like here it's like, no, we're like, we have faith in these bigger apparatuses that they'll take care of it.
Interesting.
But in Russia, they're like, I'm not giving this fucker money. And if he takes money from me, I get it back and I bring it to my family. Mm. And everyone's like, that's a good person.
Which do you think is better?
Probably a blend of both. Yeah, because I'd like to be, you know, highly loyal to my immediate people. But then, you know, for what the book, I guess, says is that for society to really advance, you need people to believe in the bigger things. So you need some of that. That's why we've become so prosperous, is because we were all able to kind of like divorce a little bit from that and be like, no, it's all about the bigger stuff. And that's where you get the, you know, the innovation and the security.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Should we answer some cues?
What's up, Stokers? It's me. Just hanging out, wearing my cream-colored pants. Man, life's a trip, you know? You're just on this blue ball spinning around, and you're just sort of like, you know, some days you wake up, and you're like, I hate my t-shirts. And then other days you wake up, and you're like, why am I here? Things change. But you know what stays constant? Stoke. What up, dudes? I'm interrupting this podcast to let you know once again that we have a Netflix show out. Chad and JT Go Deep. Check it out right now. We also are on tour, going to Seattle, Salt Lake City, Denver, New York, Boston, Nashville, Chicago, and Hotlanta. Get your tickets at ChadJT.com. Excellent shows. The reviews are in, and they love it. Got dollars. We're also brought to you by the legends at Manscaped. Manscaped, thank you so much for keeping our trims peeved, for looking after our hogs, for making sure their dinks are looking fresh and clean, because welcome to Fresh Ball Fall. It's the season of pumpkin spice and making sure your crotch looks nice. That means sipping cider in a fall breeze and using Manscaped products to trim your balls with ease. That's right. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped, a company here to make sure that your foliage isn't the only thing shedding its excess leaves. Heck, even Mother Nature knows it's time to lose the excess clutter for fall. Join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code GODEEP. Guys, get the Lawnmower 4.0. Get the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. Get your pubes looking nice for the fall, because we all know it's time to groom up so that when those ghosts come during Halloween time, you're not scaring them off with your pubes. Go to manscaped.com, get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GODEEP. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com when you use code GODEEP. Manscaped, clear out the leaves. It's your tree trunks. Time to shine. Nutritional insurance. Guys, let's get back to the show.
I rewatched a Top Gun on the airplane.
Good.
It's great.
I watched Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Oh, how was that?
It's good.
That's a good one. Yeah. I like the movie a lot.
Yeah. Part 2. Voldemort, I'm the last Horcrux. Do you think they told him to amp up the British? I'm the last Horcrux.
Yeah, it always works. If it's fantasy, you go British.
Yeah, when they go, when they're looking at each other. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah. They it probably takes the in a good way. It probably takes like the scariness out of it a little bit if it's in that accent.
Yeah. Harry, are you mad? Are you going to go to the Forbidden Forest? I'm the last Horcrux. Brilliant.
All right. Hey, Chad and JT, what up, Council? Finally, firstly, I just want to say I love listening to your podcast. They always make my day and help me get through long drives. My boyfriend is also a big fan of you guys and actually introduced me to you. Secondly, here's my question for you. So I've been dating my boyfriend for around 7 months now, and I like him a lot, but he has a habit of pulling really stinky farts that burn my nose and pull the bed sheet covers over both of us and refer to this as a Dutch oven. I can't stand the stink. I was wondering if you have any advice for getting me out of this stinky situation. He's perfect in every other way. He's kind, gentle, loving. But this is one thing he does which bothers me. What should I do? I think you got to fart back, I guess. That would stop me in my tracks.
That's what came to mind, yeah.
You got to fight fire with fire.
But here's the thing, though. He might like it. And he might come back, you know, he might come back with more fire.
Oh, dude, I did that thing I didn't want to do. I'm judging it. Yeah. I'm judging people who like farting.
Yeah, I think, judging from him, I think he might like it.
Yeah, I think you got to just, you got to break up with him. He sounds like a good dude, but... people are who they are. You can't change them. Find you another nice fella who doesn't like to fart. It's going to be tough, but we're out there, guys who don't like to fart that much. Yeah. Not get much pleasure out of it.
I think, I think you just got to scar him a little bit. You know, if, next time he gives you a Dutch oven, you pepper spray him.
Hit him. Yeah, hit him.
Yeah. And so every time he thinks to do that, he'll think of the pepper in his eyes.
He might like that. That I would actually be into that.
You'd be,
yeah, I'd be into the pepper spray in the eyes.
Yeah, you
my
a
lady.
Freak.
I am a freak like that. I would like that.
Whoa!
If my girlfriend pepper sprayed me like right before we had sex, I'd be turned up.
And you had like the red all over your
I'd be
eyes.
Like, oh, you fucking asshole! I can't believe you fucking did that. Come here, you fucking bitch! Oh, fuck, that feels fucking awful. And then I'd
guide my dick, and I can't see.
Yeah. I'd be reaching around trying to find it and shit. Like, where the fuck are you? Dick. Where the fuck are you? Get over here. I can't believe you fucking pepper sprayed me.
Oh, fuck. I can't even see right now.
You
oh my God.
Fucking
oh, fuck.
Psycho bitch. God, my snot's running.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck. Oh, oh.
Yeah, fine.
All right, guide me to the bathroom. I need to pee.
Yeah, let's go.
I can get an infection in my balls.
What up, fellas? Long time listener, first time writer. First off, I want to say how fired up on the show I am. I feel like a proud parent watching it with my roommates. I'm a 20-year-old dude in my last year of college. I've had 4 serious attempts at love, and I'm really curious about one thing. How do you know if you're being too picky in a relationship or if you're not meant to be together? I always seem to find myself getting turned off by various things my partner does. Is this just part of being in a relationship for a long time? I'm worried that I need to lower my bar of what love really is. Am I jumping into these things too quickly and just get to know the person more before committing to being in a relationship with them? Curious to see what you guys have to say.
I have two parts to this. I feel like, you know, when you if it's really special, and I think you can feel it when you like meet someone and you just like, and you just know deep down, you're like, no, this is like, this is profound. This is something that I've been looking for, that people search for in life, that I have something special here. And then I think, you know, so that when, if you're with someone for a while, I think when those things that I know you do come up, you're able to, unless they really upset you, I think you're able to sort of think to yourself, this is like the person I've chosen, and I'm willing to overlook, you know, some of these things that might annoy me a little bit, unless it's like something that you need to bring up and talk to them about. But I think it's like, once you find something special, you make that choice, and you sort of like, are like, it's just sort of like a thing where it's like, no, I made the choice. He made Dutch oven me, but you know, I'm going to pepper spray him. And,
No, I think that's right. I think too, like when you really, I mean, he's young as fuck too. Like you're just figuring out what your like needs are and what your preferences are, and what is a need versus a preference. Like, cause no one's going to check all your preferences, but I think I agree with you. You know, you really like someone when stuff they do that might ordinarily turn you off doesn't with them.
Exactly.
Where you're like, you kind of, instead of being like, ugh, you're like, it kind of charms you in a way.
Yeah.
And not every time, but, you know, by and large, you find their idiosyncrasies to be more of what makes them special.
Totally.
And you're so young, man. I think you seem like I think it's good you've had already 4 attempts at love, because I think you're gaining data on what you need and want. I don't think there's any rush. I would keep doing what you're doing, and you're asking yourself good questions like, am I doing too much of this? Am I doing too much of that? Like, you're being mindful, which is huge, because then you'll be aware of the data. But at this point, I don't think you've made like a mistake. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just figuring it out.
Everyone's on that journey of like looking if you know it's not right, then that's good to you know, you're wasting their time if you stay with them. So
yeah, trust your gut.
Yeah.
Hey guys, so my boyfriend and I have been dating for 2 years. Whenever he gets too drunk, he always insists he isn't that drunk and keeps drinking more and more, and gets mad at me when I ask him to slow down because he will later get very sick, and I can always tell when he's hit that point of having enough drinks that he will later throw up. When I ask him to slow down, he says I'm controlling, even though I am just worried about him getting sick later. He ends up screaming at me, saying a bunch of hurtful things, and breaking things in a drunk rage. He gets so mad that he hits a few huge bowls to calm down, which immediately makes him puke. After he throws up everywhere and I clean it up, he then says sorry and always feels bad the next day. We're talking about getting married, and he told our friends last night that we're going to get married next year. I love him, but I can't deal with the drunk rage and the puking. How do I get him to slow down when he gets like this? To clarify, this happens about once a month. I am not dating a raging alcoholic. Thanks in advance for the advice. I'm choosing to remain anonymous, by the way.
Yeah, when I'm glad she clarified that, Dan. It's like once a month and not like every weekend, because that would be a huge issue. I think the fact that he reacts that way is a little concerning. That he says hurtful things and breaks shit.
Yeah.
I think that's something that you guys really need to sort out before you get married.
Yeah, that scares me a little bit when she says she's gonna marry this dude, because I'm like, people kind of, he could almost be doing that too. I mean, I think he probably is in love with her and wants to marry her.
Yeah.
But it's almost like he could be thinking like, all right, well, I'm a piece of shit, but I'll make it up to her by committing and being solid on that front.
Yeah.
And I if I were you, I'd be, I think this would be something I need him to get figured out before we take that step. Cause even once a month, like at my age, if someone does that once, you're kind of like, whoa,
yeah,
reassess time. If this is perpetual behavior and he can't see that it's a pattern and it's one that he needs to fix up, it doesn't bode well for when like life gets more pressurized and you guys have like bills together and like a family and like a house and like, you know, he'll get more mature in some ways, but I would need evidence that this thing's going away.
Yeah. I think he's got to, I mean, I feel like oftentimes too, when people get hammered and behave that way and it's consistent, there's something's not right.
Yeah. What's he not addressing that's making him act up like this?
Yeah. And then to, I mean, just that, the way she was describing it too, of like, it's like a pattern every time he like yells at her, says hurtful things, then he smokes bowls to calm down, then he pukes, and then she cleans it up.
She cleans it up.
That sound, to me, it sounded abusive.
Yeah.
And
she's in a caretaker role where she has to like, she doesn't deserve
and
that.
She cleans it up. Like, he should be fucking, if I were him and I did that to my girlfriend once,
mm-hmm.
I'd be like, all right, I'm not boozing anymore.
I
sayonara.
I acted, me and my gal got into a, not even a bad one, but we got into a little squabble when I was on mushrooms. I was like, okay, I need to take a break from mushrooms. Like, you kind of lose your privileges.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
These things are privileges, and if you can't handle it, then, yeah, you got to take personal accountability. You can't make somebody else your, like, wet nurse. Like, come on, dude.
Yeah. I'd be so embarrassed. Yeah, I would be like, all right, I'm not drinking. Like, it's not worth treating my partner like that. I remember, you know, there's sometimes when I was dating someone and I would get hammered and I'd just get sleepy and I'd fall asleep. You know, we'd be at a bar and she'd be like, you fell asleep. I'd be like, well, I'm not drinking for a while then.
Yeah.
Even that was, I just fell asleep. I was still like kind of.
It's still pleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still pleasant, but I was still like, all right, that may I should, you know.
He must be in his like early 20s. If he's like over like I'll say like 27,
yeah,
it's like the biggest red flag.
If, yeah,
you know, some when they got all that testosterone and unable to kind of process it in a productive, communicative way. I've had friends like this who are now on the other side of it and they're solid, but. But it's tough when you're in a relationship and like, cause she's used to it now. It's not even weird to her now. She's like, it's almost like on the calendar. It's like, oh, this is his one night. I know what's coming. He's going to be really mean to me. He's going to break shit. But like, you don't want to get used to like crazy shit like that.
Yeah.
Cause that's what's crazy is if you're in craziness, it becomes the norm and you don't even register it as being really bad for you.
Yeah. If I were her, if I were you, I would, next time he does that, I would not clean it up. I would make him clean it up. And I would have a serious talk with him and be like, this is an issue. Like, this cannot happen again.
Or just dip.
Yeah.
Like, the moment he starts acting, like, instead of trying to, like, because you're every time he's doing this, you're like, stop. You're past the point. He's not hearing that. It's clear he doesn't have the capacity at this point to hear that.
Yeah.
Get out. Yeah. Go. Don't let him handle it. Let him deal with the wreckage.
Yeah, yeah. Let him wake up alone to that, to his puke everywhere.
Yeah, and like 60 phone calls to you and like broken shit. And because, yeah, he has you to take care of him, so he doesn't really have incentive to improve.
Yeah. I guess just hammered. Yeah, we're getting married. I'd be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, dude. Yeah, he needs to figure it out.
Yeah, that's no bueno. All right, let's do one more. Hey lads, longtime listener, here's the issue. My girlfriend is the least horny person I've ever met. We've been dating for over 4 years and she basically never wants to bone. Seems just like a chore to her. everything else in our relationship is amazing and I'll probably marry her. I'm super horny and I don't know how to broach this subject with her as she does not like to talk about it. First year or two of our relationship, we boned all the time and I don't know what changed. Please help. Oh, signed a sad, horny man. It's tough, man. Well, good on you, man, for first off, for being honest with us about it. And also for, you know, he seems like he really loves his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And I think he doesn't, he doesn't seem like the kind of dude who's putting a lot of pressure on her and making her feel bad about it. So that's pretty mature of him mm-hmm. to not be taking it on and being like, why don't you want to fuck me? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that's good. I think I know people who have gone through these phases with partners where they don't want to sleep with them anymore. I think she has to talk about it. And you got to figure out, like, what, and you don't have to jump to boning straight ahead, but like find out a way that she is comfortable being intimate, and I think build incrementally from there. Mm-hmm. Like, hey babe, even if we're just like, you know, without our shirts on in bed and just like touching each other and talking and, you know, feeling connected, if that's what she likes, I'm just guessing, but whatever it is that would feel good to her, not even in a sexual way, just in like a physical, sensory, emotional way, get to that place, and then I would build from there. Mm-hmm. Like, even if just giving her a back rub on the couch, being like, hey, like, it's we're starting slow, and I think if you can make her feel safe, you got a good shot at kind of getting to that more fulfilling full consummation part of it.
Totally. Yeah, I think is there like, has she changed jobs? Is there stress? Like, is there a newfound stress in her life? You know, I think stress is a huge, damages libido big time.
For sure.
So
yeah, it might have nothing to do with it.
Yeah. So I think, you know, could it be, you know, there's sort of a repetitiveness in the, you know, could you just be doing missionary?
That's a tough thing to skip. Yeah. It's a tough thing. It happens to me too. I like what I like, and I'm like, ah, man, I need to mix it up a bit.
Yeah. And I remember one time, for me, it got sort of repetitive where my thing is missionary with a nipple twist. And, you know, she got kind of sick of doing the twist. And I didn't really, you know, so things kind of fizzled out a little bit. And, you know, I realized I had to switch it up. You know, I couldn't have her just twist my nips, you know, every time.
It's understandable.
You know, sometimes you got, you know, do a finger in the butt. Switch it up.
Yeah, I think you're right. Trial and error. Because we get so focused on the pop that we forget that, like, you know, a lot of it is just in the trust of new things.
Yeah. I think maybe come home one day and be like, weird, this butt plug just appeared in my Honda Civic.
You know what I mean? You know what gets girls really horny too? Is like if you do like household chores.
Yeah.
Like just have her come home from work and be like, babe, I did all the dishes. I took out the trash. I sweeped the floor.
Yeah.
And then she'll be like, oh, let's fucking go,
dude.
Yeah.
And I got a pitch tent. Weird.
And I'm ready to rock. Whatever you need.
Yeah.
Have her favorite TV show already on. Ran her a bath. You're like, babe, you got options.
Yeah. She should come home and you're like Swiffering with assless chaps on and like a sailor hat. And she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, and you're like, I'm just cleaning. Meanwhile, you're wearing assless chaps with a boner.
Keep me posted on this one. I am curious to see how it goes. I like some updates. All right, cool. Chad, who's your beef of the week?
My beef of the week is people who think parts of our show are scripted. Can I talk about this?
Yeah, of course.
Because I just keep getting comments about the people in the Huntington Beach schmoll bar where they think they're like, obviously these guys are plants. I'm like, no, it's not scripted. It fucking, every part that they think is scripted is not scripted.
And there was some parts that are like scripted, but we try to like make those, maybe it's just my view on it. I'm like, I think it is probably only us, but I'm like, no, like clearly there's parts that move the plot forward.
Yeah.
That was part of it. But like, we didn't tell people what to say.
Yeah.
Those were all, we were fishing for certain things, but that day we weren't fishing for a fight. We just we ran into two guys who were drunk in Huntington Beach, which is the most amazing place in the world, but can be a bit belligerent, and those two guys just got up. Now, did they amp it up because there was cameras? I've thought that maybe, but I promise you, those two guys are there, and they've probably been in 10 fights this year. Yeah, like
people with that one specifically, they're always like, "This seems fake." I'm like, "What are you talking? That's like the least fake." Like that part specifically that people they're like that they're like, "This is obviously a plant." I'm like, dude, how the fuck could we script that?
Yeah, we scripted that when we're selling NFTs. We didn't know that was going to happen that day.
Yeah.
We were like, just like...
The lines that they give are like, this isn't CNN and like my balls are bigger than your face. It's like, who the fuck writes that?
No one's that good of a writer. Yeah. No one can write that. I wish I was that smart that I could write fight dialogue like that. But no, it was all legit. And then, yeah, that was... And like we blurred their faces for a reason. We were like, we didn't film them with blurry faces. Like we felt bad putting their faces out there because we were like, oh, these guys could like lose jobs or something based off of this.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that when people say, when they get it wrong, I spin out for like 10 seconds where they're like, this part was scripted. I'm like, no fucking way.
I think too, I don't want to, we might cut this, but the guy who was in the fight at the NFT, he's in the comments section.
Dude, yeah, he's been commenting.
On I don't want to give it away.
And he's
too
like,
much,
he's like, yeah, you didn't have to blur my face.
Yeah, and he was like, it got even crazier than that.
Yeah.
So like, how could that? He's a normal guy too. Like, when you look at his page,
that's hilarious. I didn't know he was doing that.
Yeah.
Good for him, dude. Thank you for defending the show, and thank you for defending that bar. Which guy was it?
It's the guy who took his shirt off.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it would have been the other guy.
Who knows where that guy is?
All right, we need to have that guy on the podcast. I'm like, dude, will you tell everybody you act like this big of a fucking moron all by yourself?
Yeah.
I didn't have to coax you into it.
Yeah.
All love. I loved it. I love people who fight. I find it very thrilling and very exciting. I think we probably have the right amount in our culture, but I think it's nice. Who's my beef of the week? Dude, I think there's a nationwide morale issue, specifically among people who are working like service jobs.
Uh-huh.
And I think we caught a little flack for being hard on like some service people, and you know, because we're just dealing with it, which I totally get. I think people are kind of like, what's the point? You know what I mean? They're not feeling as like as ginned up to go out there and like kick butt, because I think everything feels so like. Just predestined in a bad way. And so, and I think it's because I think maybe we're on the last leg of all these systems. Like all the systems we have, they never work perfect, but I feel like we're all kind of like, yeah, the system doesn't work. This one doesn't work. And we don't have like new ideas for them. So we're all just kind of like, well, I guess we're all kind of fucked.
Yeah.
And I don't think we are, you know, I think it's all, we can fix it right up, but yeah, maybe my beef is that we need new, broad ideas on how to live. Can we get some new options?
Yeah.
I think we need some new options, dude.
Yeah.
I'd be super fucking hyped if someone came out with a new ism.
Yeah.
That's my beef. We need new isms. So someone with that kind of brain, scribble it up, dude. Give us the new ism.
Totally.
Chad, who's your babe of the week?
My babe of the week is what is my babe of the week? My babe of the week is I got this email from Mark Wahlberg. Dude, amazing. Mark Wahlberg reached out, and the subject line says a message from Mark Wahlberg. And that just
That's
says
a dream come true.
Mark Wahlberg with his face. It's straight up Mark Wahlberg, and he goes, "Hello there, smiley face. I really want to say thank you for your love, support, for the likes and comments. Really means a lot to me in my entire career. Rose emoji, heart emoji. I'm using this to reach out to all those who care about me, my fans and all. Please, I want to ask you a question, and please promise that you will be sincere with me." And I said, "Yes,
I'll be."
A little
needy, Mark.
What's up?
You're being a little needy.
Yeah, and this, I respond, I'm like, "Please ask me the question. I will be sincere." And he hasn't gotten back to me.
What a tease.
Yeah.
Mark, come on, man.
But thanks for reaching out, Mark. I didn't know you had my email, and I didn't know you even were aware of my existence, but I love you.
That's nice. I love you too. What a ledge. Dude, my babe of the week is the elevators in Las Vegas. The best elevator rides in the world. Because you get on there, and it's like people from all over the country, and they're all juiced to be in Vegas. Everyone's chatty. You just get on it, and they're like, hey, what's up? Where are you from? What are you getting up to? They're like, we were at the pool. I'm going here tonight. And it's just, you get on elevators. Sometimes you work in an office building or something. Everyone's just kind of like a little drab. You get into an elevator in Vegas and you're like, this is the party. Like, people are juiced to go to their room. They're juiced to go out into the world. And every time you get on there, you just get a boost and you're like, fuck man, this is how elevators could be. Like, everyone just primed and open and looking to share. So I just never had a better elevator ride than the ones I have in Vegas.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Who's your legend of the week, Chad?
My legend of the week is, dude, this is kind of a sad one. It was going to be my beef, but I think I just got to pay homage. I think my ice bath is broken.
What? How does an ice bath break?
The freezer, dude. It doesn't freeze.
What are you going to do?
Well, I tried the ice bath, but the water's 63 degrees.
That's not helping your brown fats.
No, I think I got to get a new one. I just want to say huge ups to my Frigidaire 14 cubic foot freezer. I never named it, but maybe I should now. I'm going to call it Damien. Thanks for freezing my ass off, dude. You boosted my immunity, my T, my endorphins, my norepinephrine, adrenaline. You boosted my vascular system. The flow in my body is just out of this world, and my brown fat is popping. Metabolism is off the charts. I ate Skittles last night. I don't even feel it. It's all because of you, dude.
That's amazing.
I love you.
Sorry, dude.
Thanks.
You lost a good buddy. That was a very... you know, beneficial relish.
Yeah. I'll get a new one.
You get a new one.
Yeah, I'll kick his ass to the curb.
It's going to be a strong kick. The thing weighs like 1,000 pounds.
Yeah, I'll probably get some movers to do it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put it on the curb. You know, you just put a mattress on there. Just put a freezer.
Fucking A.
They don't want this shit.
I might take it. 63 sounds perfect for me.
Yeah.
That'll be my pool.
Dude. Just like, put that out front here.
I got a pool, dude. Yeah. It's just my buddy's ice bath.
You just
discarded ice bath. Just chilling. Dude, my legend of the week is this fucking stellar mother I observed in action. We're at the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas. Great time, good hang. Also, Andrew Lopez, the comedian. Did you talk to him much?
No.
He's killing it right now. That guy might be the best vibes I've ever seen in a human being. I just walked in, you know, the green room they had upstairs at the comedy venue. I just walk in. It's like I've talked to him like 3 or 4 times over the years, but we always saw each other. He just welcomes you like a brother. And then he was like texting me the whole trip being like, yo, you doing this? You doing that? I just felt so like, you know, I think a lot of us were like, oh, I don't want to reach out to someone. And like, you know, I don't know if they really want to be friends. He has none of that. He's like, dude, we're buddies. Let's hang. Let's make this special. He's just a sweet dude. And so I'm super stoked that he's, crushing it so hard. But I was, he wasn't my legend, but I'm adding him. He's a legend. But this other legend, this mom, I was watching the gorillas and I kind of was off by myself, just really trying to like get into the vibe and like let go of stuff and just like feel the music. And then a family of three walks up next to me. It's a dad, this 12-year-old girl, who's like all, she's like bedazzled on her face. You can tell it's like her first festival and she's like excited and like in character for it. And then the mom's there and the dad picks up a phone call. He's like, what the fuck, dude? And I'm like, huh? And then the girl looks up like kind of confused and she's like, what, daddy? Why are you yelling on the phone? And dad's like, dude, where the fuck are you, man? And he's like probably 38, but he's at the festival. So he's gone back into like his 23-year-old festival energy where you're just like yelling at your wayward buddy who like always fucks up the logistics and he's just screaming at the guy and he's like dude, don't fuck me like that, man. He's dropping f-bombs left and right, and the girl's just like, she's not like scared, but she's just more like, huh, what? Why is daddy yelling when this is such a nice place? And then the dad's like, dude, fuck it. I'm going to come find you. And he walks off. And then the girl gets a little scared. She's like, huh? Why did daddy leave? Why is daddy mad? And then the mom just quick as shit just goes, okay, grabs the daughter's hand and just walks her closer to the stage and more into the throng of people. And it was such a maternal instinctive move to be like, hey, this is a beautiful thing. It's about the music. It's about the people. It's about the experience. Don't ever let daddy's like wild controlling energy like throw you out of that. Don't even think about daddy. We're going to the stage and we're just going to enjoy the spectacle. And I was like, dude, that's a fucking great mom right there. She just, and it was, she didn't even, it didn't even look like her brain processed. She just grabbed the girl and was like, I have to save this girl from having this experience sullied by, you know, it, the dad being stressed out or whatever. And just took her into the, I lost him after that. And then, but I was like, I felt good. I was like, they're good. They're good. She's solid. This is, she's going to remember this positively. And I was just stoked on that.
That's awesome.
High level parentage.
That's dank.
It was. Chat, what's your quote of the week?
My quote of the week is from Lyndon B. Johnson.
Nice.
I shall not seek, I shall not accept, nor shall I seek my party's nomination for president.
Yeah, dude, I read that Hunter S. Thompson book, and it's crazy. He just bailed in 68, right?
Yeah.
Or 72.
68.
Yeah, he was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not running.
Yeah. Then, yeah, I've been reading about all these guys, and then Jerry Ford was just kind of like a super nice guy. Kind of just like, he's like talking to Tip O'Neill. He's like, yeah, you know, I forget what position he was at, but he's like, yeah, man, I just, you know, I'm going to retire soon. I'm going to probably retire in Grand Rapids. Just want to get my pension up a little bit so I can play golf, you know? And then he's, next thing he knows, he's president. He's like, oh, fuck, dude, I guess I'm president.
Yeah, accidental president.
Yeah. And he's, dude, he's on, and like Tip O'Neill's like, he was a very sweet guy. And he's just like, dude. And Tip O'Neill's like, dude, I don't know if you should be worrying about your pension right now. You might be the guy. And he's like, what? And he wakes up. He's like, fuck, dude, guess I'm the guy. So
that's the best way to become president.
Yeah, it's a cool guy. Instead of being like ruthless, you just sort of fall into it. You're like, I just want to play golf in Grand Rapids, but
I guess I got to be president. Duty calls.
Yeah, I guess, you know, hail to the chief, I guess.
Fucking A. Dude, mine is from chapter one of that weird book. This opening paragraph just hit me like a ton of bricks. He goes, perhaps you are weird, raised in a society that is Western educated, industrialized, rich, and democratic. If so, you're likely rather psychologically peculiar. Unlike much of the world today and most people who have ever lived, we weird people are highly individualistic, self-obsessed, control-oriented, non-conformist, and analytical. We focus on ourselves, our attributes, accomplishments, and aspirations, over our relationships and social roles. We aim to be ourselves, in quotes, like it's a kind of an odd concept, across context, and see inconsistencies in others as hypocrisy rather than flexibility. Like everyone else, we're inclined to go along with our peers and authority figures, but we're less willing to conform to others when this conflict with our beliefs, observations, and preferences. We see ourselves as unique beings, not as nodes in a social network that stretches out through space and back in time. When acting, we prefer a sense of control and the feeling of making our own choices. I was like, dude, when in these books like this or Sapiens, where they summarize you in a paragraph and you're like, holy shit, holy shit. In 200 words, you smacked me in the face with my existence. That just hypes me up, dude. That gets me frothing. I'm jacked that there's people out there doing that work. Although I'm really struggling to read it, but trying. Playing Wordle now too.
Are you really?
Yeah, I guess it's not the real Wordle. Like I don't have the New York Times one, I just found one. I start everyone off with, you got to pick a five-letter word. I start with tears, which is kind of like a bummer to start with, but you get a T and E and A and R and an S. I'm like, those are kind of the best letters.
Oh, yeah, big time.
But my girlfriend does a do,
which
is also solid.
That's a good one, yeah.
A lot of vowels.
That's smart.
Yeah, she's a smart cookie. All right, phrase of the week for getting after it?
Phrase of the week for getting after it. I am wearing socks, dude.
Yeah, they're low cut. Dude, I got a gesture of the week for getting after it. we were in Hawaii. Whenever I'm in a photo, I throw up a shaka. I hit him with the shaka. Some of the lokes were telling me I got a constipated shaka. They say I'm gripping it too tight with these three fingers on the non-visible end. I'm taking it as gospel. Correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the lokes told me you're supposed to do it with more relaxed fingers. And you're supposed to hit it more like that. Boom. So my gesture of the week for getting after it is just a quick loose fingered shaka. I'm too chill to pin them back.
Yeah. Sort of like you're a king going for the...
Just my like, hand.
Like, hello, your highness. You just...
Peasant. Peasant.
You shaka it. You like that part in Darkest Hour? And he's like... went to Churchill. Ben Mendelsohn.
That guy can act. He's like a weirdo.
Guy. I like that guy a lot.
He's got some weirdo energy. I like it.
All right.
It's fun, dude.
See you guys later. Stay stoked.
Stay stoked, bros. If you need advice.